parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
I'm pleased to say we're welcoming back into the studio John Sharry. John, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Here's your first question. I'm a stay-at-home dad to a four-year-old girl when my wife works full-time. I'm the boring parent, enforcing the rules as such while running the house as best I can. We also laugh and play together, so I feel there is some balance in our relationship. She will play on her own while I do my chores, etc. And Mam is the fun parent. Both mother and daughter will laugh heartily and play with each other when she comes home every evening. However, she will also cry a lot more and often demands her Mam's attention full time when she's at home. This is all very natural, I imagine. My issue is with the crying, as 90% of the time it's to protest, get her own way or fake it. And Mam will entertain her to a large part, though not all the time. A typical response from me is, come on, pet, that's not even a good fake cry. That's or you're just being silly. My wife is not happy with my methods and says I will stunt her emotionally and expressively by adopting this approach. She points out that crying is to exhibit distress, and I will end up with a girl who's afraid to express herself emotionally going forward. A typical example would be at bedtime. If I'm alone, she goes without protest, but if Mam is around, it's the end of the world and the tears flow. I find parenting very difficult and constantly question myself and my methods. Have I already damaged my relationship with my daughter? Is there a better balance that we can strike, or do I need a better way of communicating with my child? I want her to have the freedom and confidence to express herself at all times, while at the same time having the safety net of rules to guide her. Why don't they come with a parenting manual? Any advice would be welcome.
Mate, with great question. Lots to it, I think.
Yeah.
The first thing I'd pick up on the experience that lots of parents who are parenting mainly by themselves at home is they have this sense that they get all the chores and the drudgery, and the parent who comes in gets a bit more of the happy
times.
They
get the big welcome in the evening when they come home.
So a lot of moms I would talk to who are mainly often in that role would say that. So it's interesting that a dad is talking about that in reverse. And I always say to parents in those situations to try to understand that and take perspective. And the way you should see it as a break when the other parent comes in and back off and let them get on with it. And it's very understandable that the parent coming in wants to have a bit of fun and a bit of time with their child, and you can give them that. I think the other thing the dad is asking is a little bit about how to handle that crying, and mom has one approach and dad has another approach. And the truth is actually both approaches are correct. It's always striking a balance. So when a child is crying over something or protesting, on the one hand, you want to help them talk about their feelings and give them some support. But on the other hand, you have to set the rule, going to bed. And it's a judgment call as a parent, which method to employ at any given time. And usually a mixture of both. But the key thing here, I think, in that is actually, they're sort of interfering in each other's parenting, the two parents. And parents, I say this all the time when I'm working with parents, they often really, really fight over who's the right method, actually, when it's actually not the method that counts, it's the result that matters.
Yes.
So whichever works. So I would say that when dad is on duty, I think it's very good to have a duty. So when dad's on duty, he manages it his way. He can manage his way. And then if mom wants to come home and puts the child to bed, he can back off and let her do it, go out, do something else, and let her live by her own parenting methods.
Okay.
Live and die by our own parenting methods. So there's a bit of that sort of just letting the other parents do it and let them work it out themselves. Because
it's a four-year-old girl. The sound of a child crying is annoying. And I do think nature has actually specifically designed it to make it sound annoying. Mm-hmm. So you have to do something about it.
Yeah.
The thing is if she, you know, if he knows, because he's with her all day long, when she's putting it on, he knows the difference between a real cry and the, oh my God, I have to go to bed cry. Mm-hmm. But mommy's letting her express herself in inverted commas. Yeah. He still has to listen to that.
Well, I'd say he'd have to go to somewhere where he can't hear it. That's what I would say.
Go for a drive every evening.
I would go out for a walk or go out for a pint or go read somewhere, put on some headphones. And then mom will learn that herself, because that's what I always say in the reverse. Just the best way to help, you know, when the dad comes in and he's the mom is saying he's not doing it right, is just let him learn himself. Go away for the weekend and let him do it all and learn it all himself as a parent, and let them go through the hard bit and then eventually work it out themselves. Or let them, you can't really really, if you get interfere in that process and start coaching them and give it, that only just strains and makes sure it puts pressure on your relationship and you end up fighting. There's a bit of waiting, you know, there's a bit of getting into support. Would you like me to help? Or can I give you a break? There's a bit of judging that. But if you come in critical, I'm right and you're wrong and vice versa, that doesn't go
anywhere.
That
doesn't really help. But in terms of the specific criticism that his wife seems to have, that when she does the fake cry, and he kind of calls out the child on it, that she shouldn't be, he shouldn't be doing that because he's stunting her emotion.
No, but that's not true necessarily. As I say, it's a balance between judging when do you hold a child to account for it. Say, listen, now you're crying. Now let's go to bed now. Versus, listen, I know you're upset, but you know you still have to go to bed. You can actually strike a balance between those two poles. So you can be enforcing a rule and be sympathetic and supportive. It's not either or. I think is the important thing.
But say, for instance, should he say? If there's something that the 4-year-old doesn't want to do, he knows damn well she's going to do that. It's the end of the world routine. Now he's going, of course, it's terrible, come on. And she knows what he's saying to her is, I don't buy this crying, you're just doing this. Should he say that to her at all or just ignore it?
Well, you see, to some extent, I would look at the individual circumstances. Both strategies work. It's whatever works. So some children would say, I don't want to go. You might just say, oh, I know it's hard, but we're going anyway. Do you know what I mean? Just gently follow through and put them to bed. You can be sympathetic in your voice. For other children, you just might ignore it altogether and just lift them up and put them to bed. That's another strategy. Do you know what I mean? What is a universal principle is you don't get angry or annoyed or give out to them or get really frustrated and start criticising the child too much. Those processes don't work. But a little bit, sort of trying to be a bit empathic while gently enforcing the rules is generally the best way of managing those situations. But it's a delicate mixture of when to listen and when to just...
And in fairness, he's probably in the best position to know that. He's with this little girl all day long.
I would say that. But then most mums, if the dad is the main carer, feel enormously guilty when they come home. And I find it very, very hard to think the dad knows more about them, them about the child. So there's a real, real sensitive issue in that. Now that's hard for dads as well. So his primary thing should be supporting his wife, his daughter's mum, to look after the daughter and to feel successful in that.
Fair enough.
Back off and let her do it and make her feel good about it. Actually, if he wants the long-term happiness and that of himself and his daughter.
And get headphones for Christmas.
Headphones for Christmas, yeah.
My son is 15 months and is afraid of the Christmas tree lights. They flicker and he roars every time we turn them on. We switch them to the non-flicker mode, but his sister, who's three, keeps turning them back. Is this common? I thought he'd love the colours of the lights, but they seem to just torment him. Any suggestions on what we could do?
Yeah, just turn off the flicker lights.
Yeah. Might it be...
And stop the three-year-old getting near the switch. Just leave a straightforward one light.
It might necessarily be a clue of some other issue, some sort of sensory issue, that he roars if he sees flickering lights.
Well, you might be reading too much into it. He's 15 months. I think I'd go for the first thing. Put yourself through that. Some children don't like the noise of a Hoover, or don't like a loud noise, or don't like flashing light. And so just let's just get through this. Let's just set up a situation. Like, it sounds like if the lights are on continuously, he's no problem.
Put a bit of sticky tape or something over the switch.
Maybe next year he'll be able to handle flickering lights if that's important.
Yeah. Right, we have to take a break. More questions for John after this. 53106 is our text number. That'll cost you 30 cents. John Sharry is still with us. Just going back to the first question we dealt with. This is about the 4-year-old. Dad stays at home looking after her, and there are, if you like, differing approaches to dealing with her, especially when she starts crying. Texter says, my son pits us against each other all the time, but I find both parents have to be wise to it and spot the behaviour. If one isn't on board, then the child will rule the roost. Sam in Cork says, if you're using contradicting styles, does this not teach the child to play one parent off against the other, i.e. the child gets different results from different approaches?
The biggest thing is that the parents work together, support one another, but the parents don't have to be exactly the same in how they deal with things.
Sid says, Sid's more blunt about it. He needs to tell his wife to stop getting parenting advice from American TV. Jesus, if you let your child cry for no reason other than to get their own way, then the child will grow up to be a spoilt nightmare. There's nothing wrong with disciplining a child, says Sid. Well, I mean, every child ever cried to try and get their own way. It's whether it works or not.
Exactly. And parenting is always a balance between discipline and a positive parenting style and letting them make their own decisions and being supportive. So it's a balance, parenting is always.
That question really sounds like a girl learning to turn on the waterworks simply to get her way. Guys think this is emotional manipulation. Women think it's emotional intelligence. I don't think we need to even get into that one. That's just too much of a minefield. And Kieran on Twitter says, would you give that dad credit so that his wife can listen back to this, say he's right, adopt his practices and have great bedtimes? Simple. Says Kieran, but of course it's not about being right.
No, really. This is the point. Like, it's very interesting, all the reactions. My point is always with working with family. It's not about being right. It's about sort of working together, sorting things out. That's the biggest thing, because the biggest problem is the stress on the parenting relationship when they're fighting one another. That's the biggest problem in that family.
Yeah,
is the parents disagreeing and being at odds with one another, rather than but if they work together and support one another, they'd be able to sort out the bedtime.
Now, unless the 4-year-old goes to bed at 2 o'clock in the morning when it's the mother's turn, at which point I would think that is a
problem. Well, then I think that even at that point she would start learning and reflecting about it and ask dad for some help.
Yeah. My daughter and I recently went shopping for her first bra. We got it fitted and she picked a few that she liked, but now she won't wear them. She's in a mixed primary school and says she's getting a lot of attention for it at school, being picked on, called names and the like. She's only 11 and finding it hard as she has matured a lot faster than some of our classmates. How can we give her more confidence? Oh God, the poor thing.
Well, that's a very sensitive and difficult issue for a girl who's maturing and growing up. And the research actually shows that actually girls, when they mature, especially if they mature early, get a lot more a negative attention about that, teasing.
Yeah.
Whereas for boys, they get positive attention when they get bigger and stronger. So it's from everyone around them. So it is hard for her. And the mum is right, or dad who's writing, to be very sensitive about that. And there's two things I'd say to help her. One is, I think it is something the school should be on top of. The schools have very, anti-bullying policies and teasing, and they should be not should not be allowing something like that to happen. So a quiet word with the teacher, and the teacher could be a little bit proactive and either address people who are being teasing about that, address them directly to call them aside, or else do something in the class about being picking on people in certain ways and things, or commenting on people's appearance or commenting on their clothes and things like that. So I think that's one way. And the other thing is to support her daughter about how she can manage that. And I think it's usually a little bit of understanding. It helps about why the children are doing that, and actually it's their jealousy deficit or anxiety, it's why they're doing it. And also then help her be a little bit assertive about it as well. It's about what she could say. That's usually that's easier said than done, of course,
but yes.
She can say something like, would you ever grow up stop making stupid things like that, or something like that. Say something back to the people who are teasing her or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Plus maybe is it to let her know that this will be temporary, because the other girls in your class, same things are going to be happening to them very soon.
Yeah. So a little bit of absolutely, I think that would be a helpful message too as well. So then there is also, you don't have to rush into these things. If she wants to take a little break from wearing her first bra, then that's fine too. Or there's other alternatives in terms of other types of clothing options. You know, you just have to be very sensitive. You'd have to judge that one very, very carefully. But sadly, that can be an issue in schools.
Texter says, my daughter was very conscious of her first bra, especially of the outline of it being seen through clothes. We layered up t-shirts for the first while until she was more comfortable, and it worked a treat.
Very,
so there's
good,
a possible
there's a good clothing solution
there. For you there, yeah. My brother at 34 recently came out as gay. We're all delighted for him, and he seems to have had a great weight lifted from him. Although our parents are still digesting it, I'm now wondering, when is a good time to explain this to my kids? They're 4 and 7, and I don't know where to start to explain same-sex relationships to them. Is 4 too young? I'm also worried that my parents might say things to them about it when they're minding them, so I'm not trying to beat them to it. Any advice?
Well, I think the big thing here is to just be very matter of fact about it, without making a big deal about it. And when it comes up, like a good opportunity is if the uncle has a partner, a boyfriend, and just say, this is your uncle's boyfriend, and so forth. That's a very simple way to talk about it, without any more. You're calm and no matter of fact about it. It makes no big. Children will pick that lead exactly from you. There's also third party things when it comes up on something in relation to TV. Loads of the children's programs now, if you go to the the BBC, they've loads of programs at young children where there's same sex couples, and they even have children who are growing up who are cross gender, and they talk about their story. And It's all very easy if you're watching that, just to say, yeah, they'll talk about, they'll have questions about that. So I think it's much easier these days. It's not really a big issue at all. I'm not sure what she's fearful about the grandparents saying. It is understandable.
Well, I mean, maybe the grandparents are still maybe having difficulty with it, you know, and I they could be of that generation where they don't know what is the right thing to say.
Yeah.
And maybe more used to saying the wrong thing.
Most of those instances, grandparents are not actively against it. It's just they don't have the vocabulary, perhaps.
Yeah.
And it is a hard switch for them to be, and that's very understandable. If she did want it, there is like lots of helplines and things you can talk about. She can contact, and some of the services are very interested in supporting parents talk about these things, or grandparents and so forth. So, but generally, it's very very matter of fact, no big deal approach, and children really follow your lead.
Yeah, because I'd imagine if for the 4-year-old or indeed the 7-year-old, if they think that, you know, boys and girls fall in love and have kids, then boys and boys can fall in love and have kids. It's no more complicated than explaining that to them, really.
Well, there's loads of examples now where, if they watch Strictly Come Dancing, there was one of the dancers was talking about her wife in the audience, and they took a picture that was all very matter of fact.
Right, okay. Yeah. That might be a bit harsh in a 4-year-old, making them watch Strictly Come Dancing.
To get a certain equality message across, might be a bit overkill.
My son is 14.
Of course, we have our Taoiseach, of course. There's a guy that can
indeed
talk about that.
Yeah.
And he's a partner as well.
My son is 14and has inherited my nose. It's a big stonker of a thing that does take over the face, but he is a beautiful boy and I tell him it adds character. He has really started to notice it and says he hears a few passing remarks from other boys in school. My daughter sarcastically said he should file it down, which I hit the roof over. I don't even know if this is possible, but now he's Googling it and finding crazy solutions to a big nose. How can I make him get over this obsession and just love who he is, says worried dad.
Well, this is a big teenage question. He's 14. A real aspect of being a young teenager is becoming incredibly self-conscious of your appearance and your body. And most children, or most young teenagers, begin to say like part of their body and hate part of their body. And it's a real big issue and become an obsession. Unfortunately, the way the world is and social media and all the perfect pictures and so, it doesn't help in any way.
Mm.
There's two things I suggested that. It's good that the dad himself has very, gives him a very good message about it, that he's beautiful. That's the most important thing. And it's great that the son can talk to him about it. That's incredible. You know, the dad can just be very supportive and say, I don't think that. And that's a very counteracting message. I think he should address it with the daughter as well. Maybe not hit the roof with her, but take her aside and listen and say, your brother is very sensitive about that. He needs you to be much more, you not to mention something like that again, or you'll be in serious trouble if you do that. Mm. I wouldn't do that in front of him, but so you need to get if that's a sensitive issue, because it's one thing trying to tell somebody you don't feel that or can add to your character or whatever, it's another thing helping him believe that. So I think you just have to be very patient and supportive around that as he does that. You can give him that message that again, it's a bit like the previous question, how to deal with teasing and so forth. If somebody teases him, the big thing is to try to have a good answer to that. Do you mean that you can give off like, well, you know, it gives me character, or at least I'm not thick like you or something or whatever.
Mommy! Yeah, well, that'd be next week. Yeah, boy in school is calling my little boy thick.
Yeah. Or whatever you, we let that one go. But yeah. some sort of helping, coaching him to deal with it in a way that's allows with assertion and sense of humour of humour as well.
Yeah, because at that age, there's always going to be something. 14-year-old boys will always find some weakness or perceived weakness in each other and go for it. Of course they will.
It will. And the way the comedians handle these things is often the best. You know, they make the joke about themselves first, and then it's completely disarmed.
Absolutely. Yeah. John, lovely to have you in with us again. John Shari there. Happy Christmas to you, John. We're going to take a break after that. The man who freed the slaves.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. 5riversfostering.ie.